Unfortunately, in the whole alternative, I guess, media scene, there's a lot of junk revisionism. And what's funny is they often accuse mainstream of being the liars and them as having the truth that's so dangerous that it cannot be released to the public. And, they pat themselves on the back and proselytize themselves as some kind of warriors of truth and fighting this fight by speaking the truth. Usually, though, usually, unfortunately, a lot too commonly, usually the truth is their truth and not really the truth, or at least the closest to the reality of the situation they're speaking on. I don't proclaim to know everything or much of anything, but I do know a thing or two about a thing or two, and sometimes you see someone speaking on one of these things or two, and you know that it reeks of bullshit. It's junk revisionism. And then it comes to, what is, why is this junk revisionism? Is it agenda driven? Is it they're victims to their own perceptions? Or is it intentfully, or is it malicious? Or they are simply finding ways to solidify their worldview. For instance, I was guilty, I still am probably guilty of it many of the time, but I was much more guilty of it when I was younger. And I remember the first time I picked up Mein Kampf. I approached it with the same morbid curiosity that you would approach a biography by a Ted Bundy or Karl Panzram or someone of that nature. Because this was, Hitler was, the epitome of evil. I've grown up my whole life, and I read Mein Kampf when I was 20 or 21, somewhere around there. But anyways, when I read it, I was greatly disappointed. I was robbed of my curiosity of hearing from the most evil person ever and what this lunatic had to say, because I found a completely different person within the pages of Mein Kampf. And then, of course, as soon as I finished reading that, he became damn near a deity to me. I put him on a pedestal right away, and he was more human than human. He was more than a man. He was the Overman, and you couldn't say a negative thing about him because you were insulting my prophet if you did. So I went from one extreme to another. I went from thinking he was this, and because that big lie had been exposed, I had so quickly, ran completely to the other extreme. I liken to it, if you're familiar with Plato's analogy of the cave, and you have the people in the cave watching the shadows. One is set free, goes up, sees the light, comes back down, and tries to explain that the images are not real. But I thought I was released from the cave, and I went up and I saw the sun, but it takes a while for your eyes to adjust to that sun. So I went up, I saw the sunlight, it blinded me, my eyes didn't adjust. I went down and I thought I had seen it. I thought I had seen everything, and I thought I'd known the reality of the situation. My mind stayed curious about the subject, so I read more and more diaries of people around him, his conversations, diaries of people that worked under him, many of the writings, the ideology, etc., etc., getting more of understanding of this person. And in the process, I slowly killed my deity and turned him back into a human. And he became a human who accomplished great things. I mean, being a homeless painter to being, right up there with Jesus in name recognition today. So it's that speaks for itself. That's a mastering of the will, and that's, few and far between in history. That's his own greatness. Anyways, in that period of time where he was a deity to me, of course I had a bloated view of him that was not accurate. I've done other videos attacking junk revisionism, namely Jim Condit's junk revisionism with his the Final Solution to Hitler video. He's pointing out the glaring fallacies of his Hitler was a Rothschild theory and his Hitler was a Frankenberger theory. So I come across this video on Hitler's second book by quote unquote revisionist Veronica Clark. I first became aware of her years ago. She was going under the name Emma Goldman at the time, I believe. And this person has put out books and numerous books from what I've seen. And years ago, she was just had some message that was controversial to the scene she was speaking to, a mainly white nationalist. She was putting out a message that was controversial, and it seemed like junk revision. It seemed agenda driven, to be honest. Now in this video, my intent is not to attack her personally. I'm sure there's much good work in her works, but you gotta expose bullshit when you see it, and most importantly, because I think there are harmful things are said when you have people who leave, who understand the mainstream media is painting a certain picture, then they go to the alternative scene and they see people who are more known, more promoted. You know, this revisionist has been on numerous podcasts that deal in the alternative information scene, so I feel it necessary to correct an error, especially when, and it's not like I just saw the misinformation and wanted to make a video to quickly attack the misinformation. I commented and pointed out the information that she was missing that was relevant to the subject she was speaking on, but she was very non-responsive, which is confusing to me because, once again, if I'm putting something out there or an opinion, especially if I consider myself a revisionist and sell books to people, sell information to people, because I have faith in the quality of my revisionism and the work I put into it, if someone is pointing something out to me that may enhance my understanding, enhance my limited understanding, then I would at least engage to see how this person and I have come to a different conclusion. So once again, this is an attack on the person. Don't know the person, don't really care, haven't read any of the books. Most of it could be spot on and great research. But what I do know is, on the topic of Hitler's second book, and more concerning, the methods used to reach her conclusion are very shoddy. Jim Condit level shoddy. So it's worth pointing out. And if some person one day who is broke through the mainstream lies of Hitler and comes into the alternative information scene and starts questioning Hitler's second book and if they should read it, and they run across her video and they're dissuaded from it, hopefully this video will be out there for someone to stumble across that will give a counter opinion and a more accurate opinion on the validity of Hitler's second book.
V.K. Clark here. I'm going to be reading a piece about the Zweites Buch by Luis Munoz. Wikipedia's main article about the Zweites Buch says a Josef Berg authenticated the manuscript's origin.
Well, okay, we already see the first flaw here. This revisionist, this quote-unquote revisionist, who sells books, mind you, who has the audacity to sell information to you because she believes in the quality of her work. Now this is, you know, exposing some of that quality right here. I don't know how much, once again, I haven't read any of her works. I've heard some of the claims. I don't know how much is accurate, how much is not, but I do know that if you want people to consider you a serious revisionist, you cannot try to authenticate or disauthenticate a book through a Wikipedia article. You cannot do that. You have to at least read the book. The sad thing about this, most of the information that's going to, most of the misnomers she's about to lay forward, and most of the clarification of those misnomers, are all within the first couple pages of the book she did not read. She preferred to go read a Wikipedia article on the book to tell you that this book is fake or not. There's always been a stigma with Hitler's second book being fake, because you've heard it so long. It sat on my bookshelf for years, and it took forever for me to get around to it because I put no importance into it because I constantly heard it was fake. And I never really took the time to start looking into it for myself because, like many of us do, we see these people out there who have similar like views, and they can pronunciate German a little better, and they're a bit more intellectual with their explanations, or they use these $20 words, and so you think you could listen to them and trust them and take their word for it and figure, hey, she did the research. I don't need to. Thankfully, she's there. She can summarize it for me, and I'll know what happened in this situation because this revisionist did it for me, and also is charging me money to buy her books. So she must be doing, a large amount of research to be asking money from people. So, anyways, that did not happen here. She went to Wikipedia and then started Googling shit. And if shit didn't pop up on Google, it didn't exist. So, this is your revision. Let us continue.
The Wikipedia article includes a web link on the name Josef Berg that takes readers to a Czech composer who had no connection to the Nazis.
No, the Joseph Berg we are talking about that is relevant to the subject you are speaking about was not a Czech composer. He was indeed a German National Socialist. He was an aide, an heir, a companion of Max Ammann's since the early 20s. And he later went to take assume control of the book publishing division in AIA. So, yes, this Joseph Berg was a Nazi, and this is in turn how he had access to the manuscripts that are in question.
Wikipedia also mentions the Zweites Buch in its article about Mein Kampf. This article repeats that a Josef Berg authenticated the manuscript's origin, but it does not include a web link to the Czech composer. The only documentation we have of this mysterious Josef or Joseph with a PH Berg is the undocumented claims of Gerhard Weinberg.
No, not only in his claims, but also in the book, The Politics of Literature in Nazi Germany, Books in the Media Dictatorship, dealing with the media during the Third Reich. Joseph Berg is mentioned in their title and position, and all coinciding with his position to be there with Max Ammann and know him and have access to this manuscript. I mean, Joseph Berg was just one Nazi out of a million Nazis. It's not like there's going to be songs written about this guy. So, what little information there is out there, it does verify his position in the Third Reich. And most other historians, David Irving included, also validate his existence. There is also a letter to the Institute of Contemporary History, dated September 12, 1958, and his name on the subject of the manuscript. And there is a confiscation memo on the document that was found in the records that stated in an American officer in May 1945, from Herr Verlag, it was handed over by Joseph Berg, with the claim that it was a work written by Hitler more than 15 years earlier. That's on the confiscation report. So yeah, there is documentation of this Joseph Berg outside of Weinberg's claims. Now I understand why one would be skeptical of anyone named Weinberg and Third Reich history, without a doubt. But don't let that skepticism prevent you from digging further into a matter.
The quote-unquote discoverer of the Zweites Buch. Wikipedia's main article about Mein Kampf says Hitler dictated volumes 1 and 2 of Mein Kampf, but does not say who Hitler dictated it to. The general consensus among historians is that Hitler dictated volume 1 to Emil Maurice and then to Rudolf Hess, while Hitler dictated volume 2 to Dietrich Eckart. Gerhard Weinberg says Hitler dictated volume 2 of Mein Kampf to Max Amann, head of Eher Verlag Publishers, who supposedly pecked it out on a 1920s typewriter despite having only one arm.
I just can't get over the fact she's simply reading from Wikipedia and putting this out there with an opinion behind it off of a Wikipedia article. It's God, it is it's telling. It is telling of a revisionist who simply goes to Wikipedia and will base an opinion off a Wikipedia article. Now, I don't know who typed up the second volume of Mein Kampf. I really don't think it matters much. I don't know who typed up the manuscript, the unfinished manuscript for Hitler's second book. It really doesn't matter. But what I do know that if Max Ammon did type them up, he had two hands in 1926 when Volume 2 of Mein Kampf came out, and he had two hands when in 1928 Hitler was dictating his second book. He lost his hand in 1931 in a hunting accident. So, and that she could have found on Wikipedia.
Weinberg says Hitler also dictated the Zweites Buch to Max Ammann. Thus, Gerhard Weinberg's account is full of dubious claims and outright errors.
A little case of the pot calling the kettle.
Still say the Zweites Buch is a fraud.
I still say it's a fraud. Why? Because you read a Wikipedia article on it? You read a very misinformed Wikipedia article on it? You read a Wikipedia article that was linking you to Czechoslovakian composers when the answer was a couple pages in on the book you could have purchased, read for yourself, checked the sources.
Suppose Gerhard Weinberg is telling the truth. If that's the case, then how do we know that someone else did not forge the Zweites Buch? Both the Allies and Axis engaged in numerous frauds as part of their wartime propaganda. Both sides printed fake currency, fake postage stamps, and so on.
In other words, how can we call it fake, even if it might be true? Even if the people exist and the documents were where they said the documents were and they were filed where they were filed and they actually existed, how can we still call this a fake? The madness of this. And mainly because there's not even a shred of proof that any forgery took place.
With so many frauds and forgeries floating around, we must take another look at Weinberg's Zweites Buch. Where is the original manuscript?
Well, the original manuscript was found in the Record Center in Alexandria, and now it is allegedly at the German Federal Archive. It was supposedly labeled under a Mein Kampf draft until it was discovered to be not that by Weinberg, and the talk of a unreleased, unfinished foreign policy book by Hitler was, it did not originate with Paul Berg. I mean, there was other Nazis had spoken about it. Albert Speer being one of them. Erich Lauer, Nazi composer, was one of the first to mention it in 1951. So it was spoken about and being looked for before it was found. It wasn't like something that just fell out there.
History books echo each other, usually without verifying sources.
What? You got the nerve to talk about verifying sources as you were looking up some Czechoslovakian composer in his relation to the Hitler's second book? You got the nerve to talk about verifying sources in the exact same video that you just read off a Wikipedia page and then stated your opinion on authenticity of something? Oh, the audacity.
This is V.K. Clark signing off. Thank you for listening. Hopefully, this has been an enlightening lesson.
No, it has not been. How dare you try to pass that Wikipedia article reading off as enlightening. Not in the least bit. As for the book itself, if we look to the motives of why someone would completely make up a book and sneak it into the archives and then discover it and release it and everything, it would purely be just for financial gain, because there is really nothing damning towards Hitler himself. It is not like it is, you know, it was, it's this book of a bunch of hidden agendas that portray Hitler to be even more evil than we thought he was. No, not at all. The book is basically a foreign policy book. It was dictated in the late 20s, and many of the things never came to fruition, and you could tell, first, it was never finished. Second, you could tell exactly why it was never finished and scrapped and forgot about and not cared about. It was very anti-Russian, openly anti-Russian, and very honest and blunt about the French. And I've heard people try to say that it supported world theories of world domination and attacking America and all kinds of nonsense, when it does nothing of the sort. It's very friendly towards, first, England. It's very, as per Hitler, it's very Anglophilian, if you will. And as for America, the only talks of hostility are defensive in nature to any imperial conquests by America, which we see today, which country has bases all over the world. So, and so, yeah, that's basically it. If you are a person who is interested in Hitler or the era, and you've read Mein Kampf and Hitler's Table Talks, and you still want more Hitler, then you should definitely pick up Hitler's second book, because they are Hitler's words in the book, and that could be decided for yourself. But you at least should read the book first before you make the decision. And it is, in my opinion, a book that you must read. You must add to your must-read list if you're interested in everything Hitler or Third Reich. If you're looking to find as much context to the person and the era as you can. I mean, there are Mein Kampf-like rants on Jews in there. Good breakdown on Jews. Good breakdown on governmental measures and philosophical attitudes of dealing with, you know, combating materialism and individualism with great goals and collectivism, how to intertwine them and make them work, and why it's necessary to have both in society. I mean, some good political discussion in there. He nails America for exactly what they are today. I mean, he says it in the book, and it's basically come to fruition. So for that alone, it's worth reading. But all in all, it was a pretty decent book, pretty bland in my opinion, but it had some gems in there. It was worth reading, and I'm glad I did. I regret letting it sit on my bookshelf for years, because being influenced by my own ignorance. Well, with all that said, hopefully this lesson has been enlightening for you.